few empty spaces, but I remember a couple that worshiped with us years and years ago, Paul and Elaine Steele. And sometimes when the attendance was down, he would walk in and he would kind of announce to everybody before we began our assembly time and say, what we lack in quantity, we make up for in quality. So he was giving everyone a compliment. So welcome, welcome, welcome. There is an outline of the lesson in the bulletin. And also Jim had kind of noted the sermon today, and he put a little article quoted for a quote concerning Jesus, and that does address our topic this morning concerning Jesus, titled it A Wonderful Savior, and we just sang a song reflected that. By way of introduction, let me tell you some things that identify Jesus with us, and then we see the contrast in your notes. But just think about Jesus being like us. There's many references in the Bible to Jesus being like a man or in human, you know, humanity. His birth is described in Galatians 4, verse 4. When the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of woman. Born of woman, just like us. Said in Philippians chapter 2 that he was in the likeness of man, found in fashion as man. Yeah, that's like us. He came in the flesh and he had physical qualities, attitudes, emotions, just like us. He was hungry, weary, was thirsty. He met the woman at the well. On the cross, he even cried out, I thirst. He showed agony. We've been in agony too. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew records it. He says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even to death. Luke gives the phrase in Luke 22, verse 44. Being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Ah, so there's times just like us. When we're in agony, we pray earnestly. Jesus did that too. He cried. In John 11, verse 35, Jesus wept at the death of his friend Lazarus. In Luke 19, verse 41, he weeps over the city of Jerusalem. Yeah, sure did. In Hebrews 5, verse 7, it says he was crying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Gospels don't record that exact phrase or emotion of Jesus. He advanced in wisdom and stature. Normal young boy. Several other things we look about Jesus that don't necessarily make him wonderful because, again, he's just like us. You know, the date and the place of his birth don't set Jesus apart. We don't know the exact date of his birth. We know we just went through the season where many in our nation, our world, recognize December 25 as a birth date for Jesus, but we don't know. It's typically in our generation to mark the birthdays of people in celebrations. The birthdays become our national holidays. There were other people, no doubt, born on December 25th, if that was the date. More people were born, no doubt, in Bethlehem, so nothing distinguished about the place of birth. But Jesus did give instructions for his death. We're to remember his death specifically when we partake of that communion service as we did. And Jesus, when he institutes that supper, that communion, even in the instructions to Paul, this do in remembrance of me. So that's what we remember every week about Jesus, the sacrifice he made. His childhood experience is not unusual. You know, when he was 12, his parents left him behind. Yeah. I've known parents to leave children behind. Not for long. But children get separated from parents in stores. You know, and you see the PA system comes out with the parent of the child who has the checkered pants and the striped shirt. Please come get him. Of course, you hear the shout back from the aisle number three, can you keep him or her 10 more minutes? Nothing unusual about that. Nothing unusual about the length of Jesus' life. Now, Methuselah's noted for length of life, isn't he? In Genesis 5, verse 27, all the days of Methuselah, 969 years, and he died. You know, Methuselah's grandfather is the second oldest in the Bible. Methuselah's grandfather. It's in Genesis 5, verse 20. His name was Jared. All the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. The third oldest is Noah. All the days of Noah were 950. Jesus was 33, perhaps. So nothing unusual about that. It's like us. There was no beauty in him that we should desire him. Isaiah 53, verse 2. Never traveled far from his homelands. Jesus was a lot like us. So I spent, about 7 minutes just talking about the... how he was like us. Wow. But now what sets him apart? So much like us. Oh, there's some difference. Number one, you can see these. What makes Jesus so wonderful? Distinctive. You know, set apart. Why would we give this man attention or worship or give him some notice? Wow. Number one, the manner of his birth. And that was read to us in our lesson this morning, the scripture reading. Then this method of birth pushed Jesus in a class all by himself. No one else has ever been born like that. No one else will be born like that. So I just, as an illustration, he was a heavenly child with an earthly mother. But he was an earthly child with a heavenly father. So there's something about his birth that makes him distinctive that we should take note. A wonderful, and I'm putting the title of the list, a Savior. And that's how he is introduced. To you this day, a Savior will be born. That's right. Number two is his life. And Jesus is the only person who ever lived a sinless life. I can't do that. I've already messed up. Back in 1998. Yeah, I know. We can't live a perfect life. In Hebrews 4, verse 15, it says, he's been in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And his enemies searched diligently to find something wrong with him, and finding none, they had to hire false witnesses to testify against him. At his trial before Pilate, Pilate's conclusion is, I find no fault in the man. Peter describes Jesus in 1 Peter 2, verse 22, did no sin, neither was guile or deceit found in his mouth. Jesus is the most consistent man who ever lived. I say the most interesting man in the world. Lived a life that's matchless. That's distinctive. Sets him apart. What a wonderful Savior. Number three is a vicarious death. We don't use that word very often, vicarious. But the idea, you know, we're all going to die. But no one's death can accomplish what Jesus' death did. You know, I have an organ donor sticker on my driver's license. So when I die, if that sticker is placed into use, it'll benefit a few. My death, perhaps. In war, we've known of soldiers who give their lives to save a few or a company of fellow soldiers. We've read about firefighters putting their life in jeopardy to save families. We remember the towers of New York back in September 11, 2001. While people were running away from the building, firefighters were running toward it. No. But Jesus' death benefits a world of people for all time. That's a wonder. It's a wonder. And we still benefit from his death 2,000 years later. Paul said in Romans 5, verse 6, while we were yet weak, in due season, Christ died for the ungodly. Well, that's a lot of us. That's all of us. God commends his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wow. A wonderful Savior. You know, we even sing, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's right, my hope. Not on anybody else who's ever lived or whoever will live. We sing, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. So you get a picture of a rock ledge and there's a cleft in it. And the songwriter pictures Jesus as the Rock of Ages. And the cleft for me, in other words, let me hide myself in thee, away from the storms or the strong winds. Let me find a safe refuge. Now, that's the picture of the songwriter. We sing a song, what can wash away my sins? And the hymn writer answers it, nothing but the blood of Jesus. See, there's something different about Jesus' death that affects us. Number four is his resurrection. Of course, someone's going to say, well, he wasn't the only one ever resurrected from the dead. That's right. But when Jesus was resurrected, it benefited others. His death and resurrection offered salvation. And he doesn't die again. You know, in 1 Kings 17, Elijah raised the son of widow at Zarephath. In Mark chapter 5, Jesus raises Jairus' daughter. In John chapter 11, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Yeah. But Romans 4, verse 25, Paul says, Jesus died for our sins. That was the previous point. He was raised for our justification. None of these other resurrections contributed to my justification or my forgiveness of sins, my salvation. So that sets Jesus apart. Distinctive and different. And then his ascension, number five. You know, in our lifetime, we've witnessed people being lifted up into the air, launched into space, but they return. You know, we say, what goes up must come down. Gravity. But when Jesus was ascended, he didn't use a launching pad, didn't have a booster rocket, space suit, didn't have gear, didn't have any kind of man-made technology to lift him up. No. And he hasn't come back down yet. In Acts 1, verse 9, you know, this Jesus whom you saw go up. Yeah, they were witnesses. Yeah. He ascended. Number six, he's coming back again. Yeah, come back down. In Acts 1, verse 10, again, at the ascension, they noted as they looked steadfastly up toward heaven as he went up. That's right. Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. All these disciples that gathered around to hear Jesus' last words, and now he's ascended from Bethany. He said, the angels or the two men said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." That's right. John chapter 14, Jesus said, "I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. Receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That's right. I'll come again. Coming back. The last one I noted is his invitation. I say added this one in because this Jesus is the only one who can make this offer. Because of these other six things we just listed and a lot of other things in the Bible. But Jesus said in Matthew 11 verse 28, "Come unto me. Come unto me." There's a reason why we should come to him. And that's it. That's our lesson. He said, "All ye that labor and are heavy laden," everybody, don't leave anybody out. Everyone should come to him. If you want what he's offering, and we should want that. "I'll give you rest." Oh, yes. You ever get weary? Oh, yeah. Heads go up and down. Tired? Yeah. Agony? Mm-hmm. Sin sick? Yeah, keep your head going up and down. Yeah, that's me. Longing for salvation? Yeah. I want to be ready for eternity? Yeah, sure do. To whom will you go? There's a situation like that in John chapter 6. The disciples heard Jesus teaching and they thought, "Oh, that's a hard saying." And because they thought Jesus' message was difficult or hard or difficult to accept, they left. And Jesus turns to those that were still there and said, "Will you also go away?" Thomas said, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" That's right. To whom will you go? If you don't come to Jesus, to whom will you go? And then they can finish the statement, "Thou hast the words of eternal life." Oh, that's what I want. I want eternal life. Come to. So Jesus now gives this invitation. "Come unto me, all ye that labor are heavy laden. I'll give you rest." Peace of mind. Assurance of salvation. "Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls." A guarantee. A confidence builder. That which I'm looking for, I can find. That's right. Because Jesus is a wonderful Savior. So he sends his disciples or his apostles into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. No one else can make that promise. Offer that invitation. But Jesus can. Because he's a wonderful, wonderful Savior. We're going to sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. If you're subject to that invitation, you have not obeyed it already. We're going to let's stand while I finish these comments, and we'll get ready to sing this song. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve to be baptized for remission of sins, or ask brethren for strength or encouragement, you want to ask for prayers, whatever that need is. If this is the time that you want to make that request and fulfill that resolve, please do so and let it be known by coming and having a seat beside me while we're singing this song.